Forever Dog.
I don't want to talk about it. There's a couple of things I don't want to talk about. It's that and the Bo Burnham special, which I did watch.
Yeah, Bo Burnham. I watched about 20 minutes of that thing.
I think he's really, like, obviously super talented and clever. What I resent is that he has like an hour and a half at least of saying, I'm so depressed I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. While he's making this like insane, like written, directed, lit by, edited by, at one point he's naked, another point he's sweating on a Peloton. I'm like, what kind of depression is this and where can I sign up for it?
All I can say about this thing, and I'm, look, I think he's an extremely talented dude, and maybe not my thing, but he's incredibly talented, undeniable. I like that movie he made. I thought that was good.
Eighth Grade is great.
Movie's great. He's incredibly talented. Did anybody tell him he was allowed to go outside during the pandemic? He's talking about this thing as if it was a nuclear holocaust. As if, like, yeah, we're all trapped in our homes now and we can't go outside. It's like, no, you can go outside. You can leave and just put that mask on your face. That's why we all have these masks. And you could go to stores and all that. You could do all of that. It's outside. Go ahead. Go ahead, dude.
I think that would have been stepping on his next special, which is just called Backyard. I feel like we're so close to starting a list. Because, like, The Best Show has lists that are reasonable and, like, intelligent and, like, goofy. But I feel like we're very close to having, like, a series of stupid lists that become, like, more and more mentally ill. Like, we're going to do, like, food delivery service. And the number one's going to be, like, hand.
Yeah. It'll be hand to mouth. Number two, mouth to plate.
And then we'll let dogs weigh in, and then the whole thing will be like turned over.
You got to be more specific than hand, though, because you could do one finger in, you could do just like. Well, that's right, exactly.
That's how we're going to get to 1,000, because it's going to be like you always have on The Best Show. You have 100. This is going to have to be 1,000. So it'll just be like hand, comma claw, right,
left pinky, left pinky to right corner of mouth. Right pinky to left corner of mouth.
And then like number 755, gargling.
Gargling.
Like, and it'd be like water pistol to, and then it'd be different kinds of super soaker.
When's the last time you saw someone other than yourself just going, just gargling? Like the way gargling is in movies and TV shows.
I think it's like that in real life.
You're getting ready for bed.
Have you ever
seen
someone gargle in real life where you're like, because usually in movies, like, achoo! Whereas in real life, it's really not.
Yeah, it's like a
muffle. I think the media depiction of gargling, I think, is sometimes exaggerated, but more or less accurate. You can't gargle and be cool.
But you could closed mouth gargle. You could just put.
You could not.
You just swish it around. You swish it.
That's not gargling. That's swishing.
But it's utilizing mouthwash.
Swish, swish, bish.
Because what remember? Do you gargle? What do you gargle? You gargle mouthwash?
I don't gargle mouthwash. It's called mouthwash, not throat wash.
Thank you.
I gargle salt, like warm salt water in the winter when I get a scratchy throat. Mm-hmm. That's when I gargle.
So somebody could walk in to Shay Klausner and on a cold December morn, and they'd hear.
Well, you have to sing something while you're doing it. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Way down upon the Swanee.
Yes, and yes, that's exactly what happens when you come into my home.
Wow. I like it. And I want to say this also, Julie. Well, first of all, I want to say welcome to Double Threat.
Welcome to Double Threat. I'm Julie and Tom is Tom.
Yes. And we're here and we're joined by our esteemed producer slash. What are his titles? Let's get this straight.
What are his titles? He's the co-founder of Forever Dog.
And don't Robert Rodriguez this where you just slap a thing on everything.
That was the Bo Burnham thing too, where there were like, look, I'm not saying it's not impressive. It's incredibly impressive. The guy lit the fucking thing.
Yeah, he's got an Amazon Prime. He ordered some lights. I actually did hear
that he had a very, very, very talented chimpanzee that is not in the special, but they don't ask for credit.
Sure. No, I could say, so there was a chimpanzee behind the scenes?
Yes.
Well, then that makes all the difference. That just this thing.
They're
is not
in the guild. They don't need credit.
Yeah. Okay, a chimpanzee helping them.
Brett is wearing a Forever Dog hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a company man.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a Modern Lovers shirt because he's a Jonathan Richman fan.
I love that. Yes. Brett is, during the day, he's a Forever Dog. At night, he's a Modern Lover.
He's a Roadrunner.
Yeah.
I didn't say it, but I don't disagree with it.
Julie, if you watch this team, this, I know you love the sports talk that has creeped into Double Threat.
I don't mind it at all. And I'm sorry about the Knicks.
Oh no, it's fine. It happened. I'm well past it now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Where do you get joy?
Where do I get joy? I don't.
Oh no.
But no, I'm fine. I get plenty of joy. I got joy everywhere.
Joy Behar.
Sometimes I got Joy Behar. Philbin. Got Joy Philbin. Got the movie Joy.
The best movie ever made.
Just like, I want to make this mop.
That was when, what's his name, had kind of gone off the deep end. He's like, look, there's only two things I care about right now, Jennifer Lawrence and mops.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to leave the check to cash? Or would you like my direct savings account number? You
picture David O. Russell walking into the studio. Got two things, like you said.
Yeah.
Number one, he slaps.
I'm in love with Jennifer Lawrence.
He slaps a picture of Jennifer Lawrence down on the table.
He goes, wifey.
Bam. Next thing he does.
Yeah.
He reaches under the table. And he just throws a mop on the table.
He goes, clean it up, boys.
Christmas. Comes out in Christmas. Make the check out to Russell, David O. And they're just like, I think we just bought a mop.
We bought a mop.
That was my favorite. That was the sequel to We Bought a Zoo.
They were like, thanks for stopping in, David. He closes the door. They go, oh, Russell.
Yeah. What if it was David? Oh, Russell. Like he has a little jaunty what do you call that? Not a
like a
period.
Little beret with a poot, like with a pom pom on
no,
it.
No, like an O'Reilly,
a tam?
Like an O'Reilly, like a little cam.
Yeah, David O. Russell. Yeah. Here at your service.
Maybe I'll start directing movies as David O. Russell. Like I'll add a little thing up top, and I'll just like.
You mean an apostrophe?
An apostrophe. Thank you, Julie.
Up and then you did this with your finger smart. The way people
comma.
Make finger quotes but you just use one.
I'm not smart.
Well,
at
an
all.
Apostrophe is an upside down comma. It's a you know what it is? It's a comma on the ceiling.
Thank you. Oh, what a feeling.
What a feeling. There's a comma,
on the ceiling.
Like, hey everybody, like your teacher's dead. I'm your new substitute teacher, Mr. Sharpling.
Yeah.
Lesson one. And what's then you're like, so it's like, okay, you're going to vote on who's a better teacher. We're going to teach you about the apostrophe. I'm going to sing this song. And then I come in and I'm like, I just play the whole Frank Zappa album apostrophe.
You got a comma in the toilet. You got a diarrhea comma.
A diarrhea. I would like fact check, please. I would like to know a single example of Frank Zappa, and I'm not like saying there's no way he didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I would like to know proof that he sang the lyric diarrhea in any of his songs. That's just what I want
to
know.
Here's a challenge to the Double Threat audience. We need to find proof that Frank Zappa sang the word
diarrhea.
And didn't say diarrhea,
but sang it in one of his songs. And don't go using soundboards to make this a fake, a deep fake or a shallow fake.
What if he sang like about diarrhea, but didn't call it diarrhea?
No, I want the word diarrhea set to music made on a clavicure.
Synclavier?
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I talked about this basketball, Julie, you had and still have the Redhead Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which is?
A running list of people of the redheaded persuasion that I deem worthy of honor.
Now, is there anything worse to you than a bad redhead?
It's always disappointing.
Okay. Well, wait till you see the piece of crap that plays for the Atlanta Hawks. There's this kid.
I knew this was going to transition to something that had nothing to do with me at all.
What's that? What's that?
You talking
about bad
gin? What's that clogged toilet's name?
You're talking about a small forward, Kevin Herter?
Kevin Herter. Wait till you see this guy.
Please, Kevin, don't hurt her.
Yes.
Let me see this ginge. Show me the carrots.
We could get a load of this clown.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Real solid player. 3-D, a 3-D guy, as they say.
What does that mean?
He's good at shooting three-pointers and defense. He's like a good supporting actor.
Yes. It means he can't do anything like a normal basketball player. Except do this one novelty thing. He might as well be stacking cups out there or doing some other trick that he can hit.
He looks to me like all of the characters in that stop motion Davy and Goliath special.
Well,
if they left the parts, so they finished shooting the Davy and Goliath special. Mm-hmm. And they are like, okay, let's break the set down. And then that includes breaking down the puppets. Mm-hmm. So there are these like, there are these different Tupperware bins of like, these are heads and these are arms and so on. And then one night the janitor just decided to like be a little silly.
Yeah. And make a new.
And put some parts together.
Yeah.
His skin is, I don't see a single freckle. It's like he's never been. I'm jealous of how pristine his porcelain complexion is.
The baby-faced assassin.
Now, you know, Brett, he looks like a guy at Enterprise Rental that tells you that I know you online, you signed up for a compact, but I only have a truck for you now. Like he looks
or
like
he can't upgrade you to a standard, even though like the whole parking lot is full of them.
Yeah.
Because he's just not authorized to.
I wish I could help you out, but I know online that you signed up for an intermediate, but
really stressed. You're just like, he's too stressed for me to like push. You feel bad for him.
That's his secret power though. Because you see this guy and you are like,
pity?
How did this guy?
Eliciting pity?
Yeah, because you look at this guy, you're like, how did this guy like wander out onto a professional basketball court, and then he's past you. You know, he doesn't look like a typical professional athlete, but that's his.
Well, it's because he's not a typical professional athlete. He's a little worse.
Brett, how are your Hawks doing? Are they still in the race?
They're still in the hunt. They're punching above their weight. They are now taking on the Philadelphia 76ers.
It means they're about to lose a series. Julie,
when do they lose the series? When is that game?
Right now it's tied. It's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
But that's not much of a tie because that's really only two things.
And also, Julie, a good guy on the Hawks got hurt. So now this buffoon is going to play an inordinate amount of minutes, and they will be exposed because this kid can't do.
He doesn't
anything.
Look like a buffoon. He looks like a squirt. I'd say this squirt.
What Tom said might happen, or he might own the moment. You know, he might relish
the spotlight. Oh, this is your leading man now?
Sure, yeah,
this is your leading man?
Yeah, that's,
oh, dear.
That's always
Brian
how it
Stokes,
goes,
Brian Stokes Mitchell has laryngitis. This is your swing dancer that's stepping in the lead. Okay.
I know I owe you I owe you $1.7 million.
I think it was like $7 million. Yeah.
We didn't discuss interest either, because I still haven't. I don't know what I mean, I guess Venmo, that's a lot of money.
Forget
for Venmo.
About
it hasn't
interest.
Hit the
You're
hasn't
not
hit the
gonna,
account yet.
Come on. Interest isn't fair.
Yeah. Well, anyway, enough of the jock talk for one
show. Go Hawks.
Let's get a bumper that's like jock talk, and then it'll be over.
Jock talk.
So Brett, you never told us your title.
Well, I mean, what don't I do is kind of the question, you know? I mean, graphic designer, video editor, a little bit of booking here and there, you know, editing, post-production, you know, social media manager. You know, so I guess you could just put slashes between all those and then, you know, I'll accept,
yeah, sure.
You know, except just producer, you know, maybe executive producer. So it's
executive, you know, producer. Sure. Yeah. You're the executive producer of Double Threat.
Oh,
but we should also put some other executive producers on the show. Julie, the way like they just pad those out.
And name only Stephen. What about Stephen Bochco?
Would you put Bochco on here? Stephen J. Cannell.
Yeah, put Chuck people, because that way it'll be on their IMDb, because you click on executive producer and they have so many credits.
Yeah. Like when you watch Austin Powers and it says executive producer, Demi Moore. Did you know that?
Yeah. It's always surprising.
It's always surprising. I forget it and then I remember it and then I'm still, I go, that is funny. That's interesting. But we have a show to do, and our friend executive producer, I'm just going to say executive because I can't list those eight tasks as much as you'd love it. We don't have the time, Brett. We just don't have the time.
You could just do it once and then I could just like replay that just so I have
one. Let's go. Social media.
Yeah, social media manager.
Video editor.
Graphic designer. Video editor.
Data analyst.
Data
analyst.
Let's just call it. You're just data analyst now.
All right, data analyst Brett. What have you got for us?
Yeah.
Hey Brett, did you analyze that data we sent you?
Yeah. Hey Brett, got some data we want to run past you. We need a little insight into that.
Just look first look at it, then analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's your job.
Hmm. Well, looking at these and numbers then, here.
And then Brett says, analyze this.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, speaking of mob related entertainment, I got something very special for you here. I mean, we could put Master of Transitions. You know, that has to be on that list somewhere too.
Master of Transmissions.
Master of Transmissions.
Transitions. Master and transmissions. Go to Jiffy Lube. Brett'll tune you up just right. go to Jiffy Lube. They're playing Race Chasers in the lot while you're waiting for your car to get.
That's a good idea.
In the city.
Tuned up. Forever Dog's proud to announce an affiliation with Jiffy Lube.
We're the official Jiffy Lube waiting room
podcast.
The official podcast of Jiffy Lube.
Hey, over here at Jiffy Lube, you can listen to all the cool Forever Dog shows. Our service is so fast, but the shows are so good, you're going to want to stick around.
And we promise we'll fix your car in less time than it takes for producer data analyst Brett to come in with one of his crazy transitions. And speaking of transitions, we've got transmissions.
Well, The new Jiffy Lube Forever Dog promises we'll have your car fixed before Brett is done listing all of the things he does.
And if you don't make it till the music bumper in a commercial, then you'll get a free tire. But you have to go get it because it's not here.
It's not here. It's in the woods.
You have to go get a free tire that's somewhere, but we will give you a map. Maybe. We'll maybe give you a map. Maybe we'll give you a riddle.
It's like Stand By Me, but with a tire instead of a body.
You'll probably not want to seek out the tire at a certain point because it's too much trouble, but that doesn't mean we didn't give it to you.
You know, my favorite thing about this line of comedy, Julie, it means now Brett is forced to leave in his listing 8 credits at the top of the show. He can't.
He wanted to do that anyway. You think he didn't want to do that?
Well, he can't. Whatever, however he feels about it now, it has to stay in the show. Where he's like,
he could lift the whole thing. Right, if he okay, wants. I've seen him kill some darlings, not necessarily to save his own hide, but boy, I've seen him rip out some. You know, like there's a garden, and he just rips out a whole crop of radishes, and maybe you don't get pumpkins that year for Halloween. You have to buy your Jackie Lantern at Christie's.
He really is like the Sid Field of podcast editing. Kill your babies.
Yeah, Sid Field actually
killed his family. What if he did? What if Sid Field killed his entire family?
The book told me to do it.
The book you wrote?
Yes. Yes, book. Tell me what to do. Screenwriting 101.
He's in court and like, do you have anything to say, Mr. Field?
Yes. Interior courtroom.
Enter me, innocent.
Sid Field rises before the judge.
Sid Field, parentheses, 30s, handsome.
Yeah, 30s. He's like 79.
Sid Field, 30s, handsome, in a rugged, unassuming way, stands before the judge.
Stands before judge, parentheses, ugly, stupid.
Judge, do you have anything to say? Sid Field, confidently. I do, Your Honor. Then suddenly, a bulldozer crashes into the courtroom.
Spider-Man? Yeah. Spider-Man crashes through the ceiling and saves Sid. Sid hugs Spider-Man by the waist.
Sid, excitedly, let's get out of here, Spidey.
Spidey, I love you, Sid. You're so handsome and good.
The end.
and then the jury all stands up and in unison goes, the electric chair. Yeah, yeah.
Then you hear the clang of a cell door and he wakes up and he's been in. It was just a reverie. He was in. And he just looks at the wall. He sees all of like the lines of all the days he's been in jail.
Oh, yeah. And he thinks they're slug lines for like he like treats them like a board where he's like got index cards to follow like different storylines.
I'm working on this now. Interior jail cell. Sid reaches inside the bowl, the toilet.
Sid, 30s, sexy like you wouldn't believe.
He pulls out some toilet wine.
And then, like, the state uses it all as evidence against him when he's up for parole.
Your Honor, I have Exhibit A here. It's this new Sid Field book. He's making a mockery of this whole trial.
He's making a mockery of the art of screenwriting. We have, like, the jury would, the prosecution would like to call Robert McKee to the stand.
Exactly. No, I'm here. I want to say that, man, that Robert McKee thing, I can't even make fun of him. That was the most boring book I ever read in my life. Best thing Robert McKee ever did was get played by Brian Cox in
an adaptation. Brian Cox has played Hannibal Lecter, the bad guy from Succession, and Robert McKee.
Yes. And he's so good.
Oh, song parody.
Yes.
Me and Robert McKee.
That is amazing.
It's either something or nothing. But I will say that in the course of all of these like courtroom hijinks, I would say the defense, et cetera, the defense rest, like, oh, is he up for parole? I don't know. He's got these 75 new, he wrote a pilot. And it, and then the DA just says, I'd like to remind you that this man killed his family.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, wait. Yes, we almost all said that. He's guilty. He's, of course he's good.
They and then the jury, the judge, and everyone sitting in the booth all stand up, and again, in unison, electric chair.
And then he's in the electric chair and he goes, eh, it's a fair cop. Like the end of a Monty Python sketch. They ended it. They ended more sketches than you'd think with someone going, it's a fair cop. It's a fair cop.
Either that or Graham Chapman would be like, this is too silly.
All right. Come on. This is too silly.
It's like the five silliest people of all time. Yeah. And they're like, how about the one of us is just like, this is too, it would be like if the Beatles had one person that's like, that's enough Beatles music. Thank you very much in between each song.
Exactly. The song, it's like, good day, sunshine. Good. All right. Enough of this Beatles music.
That's a bit much, don't you think?
Don't you think that's a little too Beatlesque for one record?
What were you going to say, Brett?
Oh, I think the last thing I said was, speaking of mob-related entertainment, and I've been trying. Yeah. That was a perfect. I mean, that was just like one to one, A to B.
You can do it. You can do better.
Now I'm just way on the wilderness. I don't know how to get back.
You can do it.
Well,
you can do it.
Well, you know, if I'm out in the wilderness, I need to be rescued. So, speaking of being rescued, we did a podcast rescue a long time ago. I think when Bob the Drag Queen was with us, we did a podcast rescue about Talking Sopranos. That was hosted by the great actors Michael Imperioli.
When he was like, what's the young one's name and what's the fat one's name? Bob like not know like anything about it? Was great.
Yeah. And the problem was he was talking about me.
I was going to say, Tom, I swear to God, if you come in again with the Bob doesn't know who I am rigmarole, I'm going to bop you in your rigmarole.
Hey, you want to get some, let's get some calamari and some rigmarole over to the table. Come on.
You guys want to split some rigmarole?
Yeah.
If I ordered rigmarole, would you have some?
Yeah, I mean, I would try some.
All right, just one rigmarole for the table. Yeah. Let's say two.
Let's say two rigmaroles for the table. For the table.
Not the people sitting at the table who have like gobbly mouths and big fat tummies.
Not the slobs that are all sitting around this table.
I'm so mad at Bo Burnham for having a good body after like a year and a half inside of his friggin' whatever. Anyway. Sorry, Brett.
Oh, no.
Speaking of rigmarole.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, we did this podcast rescue very early on. You know, it probably wasn't super fair to them. They'd only been about two or three episodes in. So I thought we'd check back in with Talking Sopranos this
Talking
week.
Talking Sopranos. Talking Sopranos. Which is Sopranos. Michael Imperioli and...
Steve Sciarrippa.
Yes. Michael Imperioli. Talking Sopranos. Talking Sopranos. Deep Bananarama cut for my fans out there.
Your banana heads.
Do you know that song, Julie?
I don't.
Robert De Niro's Waiting, Talking Italian. It's a great song.
That's how I like that. I like that. Those girls had, not only were you crushing on them, they had crushes.
No, I like them so much.
Singing about their crushes. They're so cool.
Yeah. So what do you got, Brett?
You had some advice. Yeah, you had some advice for Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarrippa about podcasting early on. I wanted to check in and see how they're doing, you know, how the show's developed since then. They're up to...
What are they up to? Are they still
62.
In like,
they're in episode 62
of what?
Now.
What season?
Oh, boy.
They're close to the end. Yeah. Is that there true? Ain't that many episodes.
Yeah.
Really?
Season five. They're in season five.
Oh, so they're
right
down
now.
The road. Okay.
And I thought this week would be particularly good for us to check in because they had a celebrity guest on to join them, a super fan, our old friend, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin joined Talking Sopranos this week. Oh boy. They don't normally have guests, so this was a very special, event for
is
the
he
show.
Behind like a red curtain, also weren't they all in front of red curtains, like Twin Peaks?
Yeah, they do record this from the Red Room. I don't have video for this this episode. I do have the audio here though, and we're gonna pick it up. We're gonna pick it up.
Candy you like will come back in 20 years
with his weird Twin Peaks room that they shot that in.
I don't know anything about Twin Peaks except whenever I take like pictures on my rug, people are like, I know, whatever. I have peripheral.
Is it a chevron? Is it a chevron?
Yeah,
design?
It's chevron. Yeah. I like David Lynch. Every time I see a video of David Lynch talking, directing, doing anything, I would love to hang out with that guy. He seems mm-hmm. really cool.
You live at a chevron?
I live in a chevron. Things are not going well for me, Tom. I keep implying that, but every once in a while, I feel like I need to spell it out.
Julie's living C-A-G-V-R-O-N. In a gas station now. Boy, oh boy. Is it at least the ladies' room?
No.
Oh no. It's not the men's room, is it?
No, it's not. I crouch very, very low behind the like pump your tires full of iron box.
Bro, we gotta help Julie.
Could be worse.
I don't know. She's saying it could be worse, so maybe
could be worse.
Just let this one ride for a little while.
All right, so what do you got, Brett? You got Alec Baldwin on
the Talking Sopranos, and I got to thank Emily for alerting me to this. And as we pick it up here a couple minutes into the episode, they've asked Alec Baldwin, like, summarize your relationship with the Sopranos. You know, how'd you become a fan? How'd you get into it? So on and so forth.
I watched it every Sunday night.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show.
So the first season of The Sopranos, I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is cool. This is okay. You get to season 3 and 4, and every Sunday night, my hand to God, every Sunday night, it was 60 minutes, order the Chinese food, eat the Chinese food, Sopranos, big love, go to bed. Without fail. I mean, I became
Hold on. Right off the bat, this dolt watches The Sopranos and orders Chinese food. For the Sopranos, you order Italian food?
I get my wontons and I get chicken fried rice without fail. And I watch The Sopranos and then I watch Big Love and then I go to bed.
My hand to God, every Sunday, I would get my wontoni soprano. I'd get my beef with Pauly Walnuts.
Pauly Wet Walnuts.
Well, he's not having ice cream, Brad. Sorry. He's getting Chinese food.
But let's put a pin in Pauly Wet Walnuts.
One of the things
you
noticed, one of the credits in the list was joke punch up when he rolled off his list of credits at the top.
Yeah, transition creator, joke punch up. Mm-hmm. And then in parentheses, helpful/not helpful.
My hand to God, I would watch every Sunday.
Oh, like everyone?
But like, he didn't describe why the show was good. He just described what he did on Sundays.
And I like how he was like, yeah, season one. It's like, yeah, this is cool. This is cool.
But then when I added Chinese food and Big Love into the picture.
Yeah.
Big Love.
Every Sunday, I'd watch Entourage. Mind of the Married Man. Then I'd watch Real Time with Bill Maher. Hand to God, I'd watch Real Time with Bill Maher.
And around then, they would show a rerun of
Real Sex 15.
They would go to nudist colonies a lot at one point.
Hand to God, I'd watch Hung and
John from Cincinnati. Hand to God, I would watch How to Hand to God, I would buy a hamburger and I would come home and I would watch
Treme, Carnival,
Real Sports, and then they'd be showing Devil Wears Prada, and I'd watch that.
Hand to God, I'd watch Devil Wears Prada.
Hand to God.
I'd go to McDonald's. I'd get a number two quarter pounder with cheese, Coke, fries, Oreo McFlurry. I'd go, I would watch Hand to God. I'd watch Luck. Hand to God, I'd watch Luck. And then The Making of Catch Me If You Can, a behind the scenes
featurette. And then a rerun of Entourage.
Hand to God,
I'd fall asleep in my chair.
And then to bed, which was my chair. That looks like a bed. My chair
sometimes
is a
it
bed.
Is my bed. If you fall asleep on it, it's a bed.
Anything can be a bed. It just depends on how sleepy you are. Hand to
and
God.
I'll tell you, after 5 or 6 Mushu pancakes, I'm really sleepy.
Hand to God, I'd go to Taco Bell. I'd get 3 Mexican pizzas and a diet Mountain Dew. And I'd go home. And I'd watch, hand to God, I would watch Homeland and Penn and Teller's bullshit. And then I realized I had on Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime.
I had Showtime on.
So then I changed the channel.
I missed it.
And I missed it. And I would punch myself in the face.
Then I'd throw my TV out the window and watch it hit someone.
All right. What else does he have to say? Is that it? Is that the whole clip?
Oh, no. We're just getting started.
Oh, gosh.
Your podcast is Here's the Thing, right? That's the name of it. And you talk to people.
Boo.
You talk a lot about culture, and you're very savvy when it comes to, you know, especially with TV and movies and stuff. Why do you think The Sopranos made an impact?
Well, I think that, you know, The Sopranos becomes one of those shows where, like, it's like a band. You know what I mean? Everybody's servicing the same goal. There's shows where people come on and the cast, the individual cast members are very bright and shiny and everything works. And, you know, in sitcoms, they're very funny. And there might not even be a need for them to be in the service of the same thing. But great acting to me is like music, and everybody's got to be playing off the same sheet music, you know? And Chase, of course, is this legendary writer. And you know, you get a couple seasons into the show, and you got the best actors on TV who are all jamming the same tune. You know, they're all servicing the same story.
Hey, hold on, hey,
and nobody's
please,
off
hold,
here
wait,
doing
hey,
their
please.
Own.
Hey, Julie, guess what I don't like anymore?
Life.
Well, this is a subset of that.
The Sopranos.
Yes, I don't like it anymore.
He ruined it because he compared it to. He didn't say jazz, but. He meant jazz. He meant the kind of jazz that white people talk about like bad jazz.
And they're all just, you guys were all just jamming on the same tune with it. Oh, you mean acting the script?
Yeah. You mean sheet music, like a script? Because a script is on a sheet, too, of paper. Yeah.
You watch other shows and...
And they're funny.
People go on them.
The sitcom people are funny.
You watch on one show, one guy is a fireman and he's doing a thing. And then this woman is an astronaut and she's doing a whole other thing. You guys all did a thing that took place in the same world. He's making like shows just
you know,
do
on,
what
on
they
night,
want.
On Night Court, you know, Harry was a judge. But then John Larroquette was a lawyer.
And Bull. I mean, the work that Bull did was just unbelievable. And Marsha Warfield.
Actually, now that I think about it, Night Court is also like a band.
Back when I was in Long Island, every Thursday night, hand to God, I would get a popsicle and watch Happy Days. And everyone knew their role. Mork from Ork was on once, and he... had a battle with Fonzie over who his power of his thumb, whether he could freeze Fonzie correctly. And that was a launching point for Mork and Mindy. Hand to God.
And God, meanwhile, is just like, can you leave me out of this, please? Anything else in this clip, Brett, or did we squeeze the...
Oh, no, he's got a great story coming up about meeting David Chase for the first time.
God.
coming up shortly.
One thing, everybody fits together, you know, in a really beautiful way. Right. And I love that. I love, I mean, the You'd Sopranos almost think eventually they were becomes cast. One of those shows, which is like, you guys both know where there's jobs in this business that become like a club you want to get into. You know, you want to get cast in a Woody Allen movie. You want to Sopranos becomes
example
one of those shows
number
where you're like,
one.
Who do I got to sleep with to get a part on The Sopranos? You know, I want to be on that show. You know,
have you ever, did you ever pursue it? Because I know you told me, Bobby a story. I think we were doing Hollywood Squares.
Right.
And you told me a story about you ran into David. It was a hot day.
In the bathroom. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was a hot day in the bathroom, and I'm supposed to keep listening to see what this story is?
Hit pause for a second, please.
Interior, hot day, bathroom.
You just took the words right
out. Oh, I did? Sorry.
Absolutely.
But like, why would you want to keep reading if that's the script? And you're like, I don't want to keep reading. Like, wait. No, listen. Alec Baldwin and David Chase are about to enter.
Were you in the, you had a hot day in the bathroom? You ran into David Chase in the bathroom? What was the story with you ran into him in the bathroom?
Hand to God. I had to make water. I had to make.
Hand to God, I was just gargling. They didn't have cups, so I used my hand as a cup.
Woody.
Shoved as much tap water as I could get into my mouth as I'm dribbled down my chin.
All right, let's hear a little
All right, let's hear this hot bathroom story.
That's insane. That's like the most effed up story. I go to meet a woman, Georgette Mosbacher, famous businesswoman, La Prairie Cosmetics, and her husband was Robert Mosbacher, and she's this rich socialite businesswoman. And I go to meet her about a charitable thing, and my office says, go meet her at the Four Seasons restaurant. I go to the Four Seasons hotel by mistake. It's August.
Hilarious.
It's 95 degrees. I go into the Four Seasons hotel.
It's too bad he didn't end up at Four Seasons landscaping, right?
Yeah.
More likely he'd end up at Four Seasons landscaping, huh?
Yeah.
Remember that?
You believe this guy?
Remember when Rudy was at Four Seasons landscaping?
I do. I remember.
That was still one of the all-time great moments in history.
That was the best thing in the world. That was when he was bleeding from the face that whole week, too.
The idea that at one point this guy
was brilliant,
America's mayor,
mm-hmm.
and then now you jump forward in time a little bit, he's got hair dye dripping off of the side of his face. He's in the back parking lot of a Philadelphia landscapers
that was closed
on a Saturday morning.
The best.
Hand to God.
All right, Brett. A little more, please.
No. It's the Four Seasons restaurant. This is like the chicest watering hole of elite business and media in New York. I'm sweating through my blazer. You can see the water like splotching my blazer. I say to Georgette Mosbacher, can you hold on a second while I go into the bathroom? I'll be right back. She says, take your time. I apologize profusely. I'm late. I go in the bathroom of this super chic restaurant, take my jacket off, take my shirt off. I'm mopping.
Hold on
the
a second. Wait. Hold on. So what did he? Did he? Took off. He took off his. He took off his pants and jacket.
I took my shirt off. I took my pants off, and I took off my underwear.
Yeah.
Hand to God, I was naked in that hot bathroom. And then Woody comes out of the handicap stall.
So we're to believe that there's a shirtless Alec Baldwin in the Four Seasons restroom at this point.
Yeah, that's where we left the story. He's very hot. He's soaked through with sweat. So he goes into the bathroom. He takes, as far as we know, his shirt and his jacket off. So he's standing there shirtless.
I don't buy.
What if he was wearing an undershirt? What if he was wearing an undershirt? What if he had one of them little tanky tops? You think he goes skin to button down?
I had on my working girl. I had the undershirt I wore in Working Girl.
I don't buy this sad sack routine he's doing either. He's trying to make it like he's just like, what am I gonna do?
But like he's the
man who's meeting this socialite in a fancy restaurant to begin with, and he said my office sent me because I was looking to do charity. There's no self-deprecation in this story whatsoever, except for I'm now picturing him completely shirtless.
Could you imagine the sink being that poor person who made that mistake at his office?
Oh God.
Could you imagine being that person being like, hey, you sent me to the Four Seasons Hotel.
Change your name and move to Michigan.
Here's what I want you to do. Take the message that I left my kid. Just put your name in. I don't have time. You're fired.
Fired. They should be so lucky.
Yeah. All right, let's hear the dramatic conclusion of this story.
Shirt up to the mechanical dryer, and I'm drying my shirt with the hand dryer, and the door opens, and it's David Chase. This is my introduction to David Chase, and he goes, Alec Baldwin? Like with that question, Alec Baldwin? Like, what the fuck are you doing drying your shirt in the bathroom at Four Seasons restaurant? And I think based on that alone, I was never cast on your show ever.
Did you?
Yeah, based on that alone. That's all that did it.
You think he was shirtless or you think he had a t-shirt on?
I'm going to say he had he probably had one of those. Remember when cigarette companies would give away like shirts if you got enough like bucks from the product, like enough like Camel bucks or whatever.
He had Camel Cash. He had a Camel Cash t-shirt on.
I had my Camel shirt on, my Joe Camel shirt, hand to God. Cost me 15,000 camel bucks.
Get
this thing. All right, so he's in the bathroom. Here comes David Chase.
Oh, that's the end of the story.
That's it. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, good.
So he just goes, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah.
Steve Sciarippa almost died setting up that story, and that was the whole story. He sounded like he was going to die. Like, was there a story about?
Yeah.
You're in the bathroom. It's like what a hot
story. You were in the bathroom.
It's like his last words. Should Steve Sciarippa be podcasting? Usually you don't think of things as like podcasting being active.
Yeah.
No, this episode is 2.5 hours long, too, by the way.
That's a long time.
I like Michael Imperioli a lot. I like his Instagram.
Best.
His Instagram presence is very sweet and charming, and I give him a lot of credit for finding another chapter in his life. So I straight up an admirer of his. If he's having fun doing this podcast, great. Alec Baldwin,
We love you. Please follow us.
Yeah.
please not only unblock us, but follow us, please.
Yes, and come on this show.
Well, you know, I got one more thing for you here. This requires a little bit of setup, but it's worth it, I think. So this is what we're about to watch. You know, we always like to check in with small businesses here. You know, we checked in with St. Louis Cremation a couple episodes ago. We like to check in and see what local businesses are doing all over this great world of ours. And this is a...
Forever Dog, by the way, will be giving out PPP loans mm-hmm. to any small business
yes.
that he... and Joe Cleo decide are quote unquote worth it. And that's at their discretion. I can't speak to what their standards are.
No, we don't have any role in the decision making, but they are, it's a part of this new program that Forever Dog is launching that.
I think it's a pyramid scheme. They haven't said what PPP mm-hmm. stands for. I'm pretty sure one of the P's is pyramid.
I think all three are pyramid. It's probably just pyramid.
Right.
And it's really about self-empowerment and sort of putting people in charge of their futures by making them, you know, everybody's got a team they're responsible for. And then, mm-hmm. you know, it's just basic trickle-down economics.
You're girl bossing.
Pretty much what you get is the opportunity to buy a double threat Zodiac Killer t-shirt. You get a 10% discount. Just if we strip it all away, that's all that the offer.
Well, you have
really
to buy
is.
In order to get the PPP loan. You have to buy 20 of them, but then you get to sell them at a profit. We sell them to you wholesale, but that's a requirement in order to even apply for the loan.
That's the PPP.
Who replaced Jerry?
You know, I haven't met our new rep yet. I was kind of thinking, I thought we were, you know, big time legacy customer over there, but I haven't, nobody's reached out to me since Jerry left. So I guess maybe
it's probably that it's probably that chimpanzee that works with Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta lower the F stop two notches.
The chimpanzee's like, hey, I'm only working on this thing because I thought Bo was short for Bonana.
All right.
So small businesses.
Yeah, small business. So small business check in, our small business update. And this is from a while back, so this isn't necessarily current, but it's, you know, small businesses of the past as well we check in on. This is a, I got to set this up for you here. So there's this, there was this furniture chain in Australia called Norman Ross. It was like a local furniture home goods chain. And it was started by this guy named Jerry Harvey. And then this big company, Walton's, which is like the biggest department store chain in Australia, or one of the biggest, they come in and they buy Norman Ross. But then they fire Jerry Harvey. So it was like his business he started, he gets bought out. He thinks he's in the big time now, but then the new owners, they cut him out. They fire him. And so Jerry Harvey, God bless him, what he does is he starts a new chain of furniture stores.
That's my deal, Jerry. It's my deal.
It's my deal. You step off.
So Jerry Harvey starts a new chain of furniture stores called Harvey Norman, and he makes these commercials that come right at his former
Norman Harvey is the one.
Yes.
He just changes.
Wait, he took... So Norman Harvey.
It was Norman Ross, and then Norman he made Ross. It Harvey Norman because his last name is Harvey.
Oh my God!
So wait, hold on. Just tell me again very quickly. So Norman Ross started a furniture store.
Jerry Harvey started Norman Ross, and then it gets bought out. He gets fired, so he starts. God damn it! Hold on, my notes here. He starts. Harvey Norman, and he's Jerry Harvey. And then basically he's coming at the old furniture store hard in this commercial. That's all you got to know. They booted him out and he's not going to take that lion down.
The man who started Norman Ross and got the sack when it got taken over starts all over again.
You know, I started this business 21 years ago. I owned the whole thing. Then Walton's going by it. I suppose that's okay. Then John Walton gives me the sack. Me, the guy who started it all. So now I'm back where I started, starting a shop. Mind you, it isn't a small shop. In fact, it's probably the biggest in Sydney, and it's right opposite John L. We're going to open 7 days a week, and we're going to give all their prices a pizzling, mainly because we don't keep wasting our money taking
hold on,
over...
Hold on, wait, you got to stop right there. That is... Go back, please.
I've never seen an angrier man.
Let's set the visual on this. This guy, who would you say this guy looks like? He looks a little bit like the cop from Terminator 2. Like, what's that actor's name?
Or RoboCop. He looks like RoboCop.
Yeah.
Too.
And he's an intense dude in a suit, and he is ready to go to battle.
He's got a lot of Alan Partridge in him too.
But what is he going to do to their prices?
He's gonna give them a jiggling.
A pizzling.
A pizzling.
Can you believe it? Me. I started the whole thing. And they fired me. And the video is also named, We're Gonna Beat Ya. Like, nothing about furniture.
That kind of sounds like our, it should be like our catchphrase on this show. Like our tagline.
Julie, it sounds like it could be. Guess what?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is now.
We're going to beat you.
Double threat. We're going to beat you.
We're going to beat you.
Can you believe we got kicked off? We got kicked off Forever Dog.
By Heart Radio.
Me and Julie got kicked off.
You got sacked off Forever Dog.
Oh, it's me, Brett Boehm. I can't believe my podcast network. We sold to iHeartRadio, and I got kicked off. Can you believe it? Me.
Me.
I want to tell you about my new podcast network. Joe's looking out the window like, yeah, Brett's still out there. Like in the iHeartRadio building. He's still out there. He's leaning on my car.
And this is also an aggressive walk and talk, too.
Oh, it's so he's aggressive.
Walking towards the camera in a menacing manner until he's inside.
Yeah.
You know, I started this business 21 years ago. I owned the whole thing. Then Walton's going by it. I suppose that's okay. Then John Walton gives me the sack. Me, the guy who started it all. So now I'm back where I started, starting a shop. Mind you, it isn't a small shop. In fact, it's probably the biggest in Sydney, and it's right opposite John L. We're going to open 7 days a week, and we're going to give all their prices a pizzling, mainly because we don't keep wasting our money taking over other people's businesses. How do you think Alan Bond and John Walton will like this? We reckon our electrical showroom is bigger and better than theirs, and the same goes for our carpet, furniture and home renovation displays. Bigger trading hours and lower prices guaranteed. Why don't you come and have a look? Maybe you shouldn't have sacked me after all. Or maybe you should buy this place too.
Harvey and Norman starting all over again. 7 days a week. Hold
on. I have.
I didn't expect that. Did you expect that ending?
Julie, I have an announcement to make. Double Threat is now all we talk about is Harvey Norman discounts.
Yes.
It's all we have shifted gears.
Yep.
We used to talk about anything.
The show.
We're narrowing the focus of the show now to only because at the end of this commercial, he starts doing a dance. Maybe you buy this place too.
And to describe the dance is difficult, but I'm going to try. He points both of his fingers in the air and he rotates his torso back and forth while his hips go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's like a weird, evil, good ship lollipop dance.
And this clip will be on at Double Threat Pod on Twitter and Instagram, so you can watch along there.
I like it when he at one point just starts talking directly to the blokes who sacked him.
Yeah.
Because at first he's talking to the audience, and then he's like, "Why don't you come by yourself?"
When he's walking at the beginning of the commercial, he says, "And they bought my place, which I guess is all right, but then they sacked me." Can you play that again, Brett?
The other thing is, he's walking past. There's no way that guy isn't trespassing because he starts the commercial walking past the store that fired him.
Yes, he's looking in the window of the business that fired him.
His hands are on. Maybe they're not even touching the window, so you'd be like, "I'm not touching it. You can't like."
Yeah, or didn't touch it. Didn't touch it. I know the rules.
I started this business 21 years ago. I owned the whole thing. Then Walton's go and buy it. I suppose that's okay. Then John Walton gives me the sack. Me, the guy who started it all. So now I'm back where I started, starting a shop. Mind you, it isn't a small shop. In fact, it's probably the biggest in Sydney, and it's right opposite John L. We're going to open 7 days a week, and we're going to give all their prices a pizzling. Mainly because we don't keep wasting our money taking over other people's businesses.
It's like saying mostly because we don't waste time stealing other people's wives.
This guy, you know, he looks like evil Robert Fripp. he looks like if Robert Fripp has an evil twin out there somewhere.
He likes to say started a lot. Me.
Yeah. My podcast
so now
network.
I'm back where I started, starting a startup.
We got a new podcast network, and we are on 7 days a week, and we keep
mostly because we don't waste time firing me.
We're gonna give these other podcast networks a pizzling.
He's so mad that guy probably didn't need a second take.
No, we got it. You imagine. Okay, so maybe we do another one. No, we got it.
No,
I'm going back to the showroom.
He's not doing it for the... There's no way that guy's making a profit on any of that furniture. He just wants to ruin the other business.
This guy, he wants revenge. He's like John Wick.
He's like John Wick, Kill Bill.
He's like John Wicker furniture. John Wicker Ottoman.
I'm like
John Wick, and we got a Wicker Ottoman here. One more. We got one more.
Yeah. Let's do one more. okay.
I don't like that.
He's got the goofies. Got the goofies.
All right, well, let's see how this one plays.
Well, my credits are I'm an engineer, a producer, executive producer of the show. I do data management. I'm the goof master general. Okay.
All right. Well. So this clip comes to us from Katie, and this is from a show. Do you know a show on TLC called Extreme Sisters? Extreme Sisters?
No,
I do not.
All right. So there's a reality show on TLC called Extreme Sisters that looks at just what it says: sisters who have some. There's something extreme about their lifestyle, or something extreme about their relationship, and. One group of sisters that it follows is Anna and Lucy, and Anna and Lucy are twin sisters who are both in a relationship with the same guy. They're both in a relationship with the same guy, and it's they've been in the relationship for 10 years, I believe, where we pick them up with here. And now they are both trying to get pregnant at the same time.
Hand to God. I will go to Sonic. I will buy a cookie dough parfait. And I will be home in time to watch Extreme Sisters.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night at 6:30. I'll watch Dr. Pimple Popper, Extreme Sisters. And sometimes, if I'm lucky, there's a rerun of My Strange Addiction.
Every Monday night, hand to God, I go to 7-Eleven. I get 4 king-size Snickers bars, and I watch 11 hours of Impractical Jokers on True TV. Then I go to bed.
Hand to God, I will buy a frozen Marie Callender's pot pie.
I will buy
a frozen Marie Callender's pot pie. I eat it frozen. It doesn't matter.
Don't heat it up. I sit on top of it like a mama bird and get it a little melty.
When I decide the babies have hatched.
Then
I eat it with a shot glass. I just sort of I call them chicken shot pies. And I can do more of them than any of you.
Every Friday morning, hand to God, I get up. I walk to Veselka with a burlap sack and tell them to fill it up with pierogies. And then I go back to my house and I watch Hollywood Ending. And I tie the burlap sack around my head and eat my way out. I drop a little TV into the burlap sack and until I eat pierogies until I can see Hollywood Ending. Hand to God.
All right, Brett, what are these extreme sisters?
All right,
sisters
so we got Anna and Lucy, extreme sisters. They're trying to get pregnant. Now the big moment, they're going to both take pregnancy tests at the same time. And we're going to see what happens.
We're 35 years old. We've been with Ben for 10 years. We've decided we want kids now.
Are these more Aussies?
We're in a hurry, yes. To be honest. We're really in a hurry. We want it now. We want kids now. But we need to have the babies at the same time. Like, we need to experience it together. Like, I'm not doing it without you. I'm not doing it without you either.
Are you ready?
I don't want a ball.
Well, we have to.
Oh, no.
We're here.
Right, you nervous?
Yeah, we are.
So we've got to wait a couple of minutes. Right. So a single line, not pregnant, and a cross line, pregnant.
Okay. Waiting for the test results, the pregnancy test.
There was a lot of anxiety, like a lot.
I'm having a heart attack because I'm thinking Anna could be pregnant and I'm not. We'd prefer both of us not be pregnant than one of us be pregnant.
Definitely.
Do you want to have a look? I think we can try now.
Okay. Do you know which one's yours?
Yeah, I think yours.
You haven't mixed them up, have
you? No. Let's do it together. Does that mean pregnant?
I think it means not pregnant.
That line. There's a line. Does that mean not pregnant?
Not pregnant.
Not pregnant. We're not pregnant.
Oh my God. We should talk like that, Julie.
Yeah. When we interview, when we have Jerry Harvey on, we should be like, we like to interview together.
Yeah.
We'd rather we not interview you at all than one of us interview you once at a time.
Time. They hit those special notes, those moments where it is perfectly in sync. That is amazing.
It's horror. And I don't like to be one of those people. Because, I mean, if you're a twin, nobody wants to, like, as a redhead, when people are, redheads are creepy. Like, I don't want to perpetuate the twins are creepy, the horror trope. That's not nice to people that are twins.
No, it's not.
However, if you think twins are creepy, this might not be the thing that would prove you wrong. Because they also sort of look like artificial intelligence created. Like, at first I was like, do they not have eyebrows? But they do have eyebrows, but there's just something else that's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, we know twins. We know Rob Hatch Miller. He's got a twin brother.
Yep.
Merv, I think his name is.
Merv. Yep.
Yeah, twins are not creepy. That's a weird.
We know Eric. Like, we know Eric and Lyle Menendez. We know them.
We know them. They're great. And we know Brett and Rhett Boehm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brett and Rhett, like Rhett Butler.
Yeah.
Very southern name.
Frankly, my dear, I cannot engineer this podcast.
I'm trying to think of what Rhett Boehm looks like because Brett has this mustache.
Yeah.
So, but I can't picture a Rhett Boehm being clean shaven.
No.
I mean, I can say that, what I got going on here is a little on the scraggly side. So Rhett Boehm probably is a more finely tuned version of this, probably with some, mustache wax, incorporated.
Like Gavin McInnes?
Yeah.
Julie, do you think it's time for a double Brett shirt?
Not until we figure out his facial hair.
Yeah, that's true. I think we got to work. We got to workshop this a little bit. There is no double Brett shirt, though, like literally with two of the same Brett.
Which is absolutely insane, especially since Brett's marketing, he does marketing and product design and other social media.
Merch design. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah.
I know, but 90% of the merch now is just you. You're like your image. Like there's the tarot card one.
Yeah.
I'm sure John Wisk things are coming in. They must be. If they're not, that's psychotic. I feel like there's a lot of other examples of Brett-related merch.
Yeah.
I've resisted turning. There's definitely a lot of, art that comes
in. How hard have you resisted? I've resisted,
I'm trying to maintain a proper ratio that represents, the ratio on the show. So I'm not, I think I'm trying to keep my percentage of the merch at a representative level,
Notice how he withdrew the word low from his description of the level he's trying to keep his presence in the merch. He said low and then immediately took that word off the board because he's like, oh, no, it's not low. It's just, it's not 100%. I love it. I love all of it. I love Alec Baldwin on the Sopranos thing. I love the madman who ran the furniture store out of business.
And in all seriousness, Aussies, please, ideally, if you can help us book him, God willing, he's with us. But if not, if you have any more insight into this story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got some good news and bad news about our pal Jerry Harvey.
I hope he's not dead.
I hope he's not a bad human.
The good news is that he is still alive, still kicking at 81.
That means he's a bad human. What is it, Brett?
The bad news is that
he stormed the Capitol.
Well, he very much kind of over the last couple decades became the thing that he was fighting against in that ad that we saw. He Harvey Norman, the store that he created there, became an incredible success. Jerry Harvey is now a billionaire, and as this article says, an emblem of Australia's corrupt economic system. As of,
I don't know, I'm still on his side. Keep going. You haven't turned me off to him yet. How corrupt? Did he turn it into a sweatshop? What's going on?
You know, he's just like, let's just say he's sort of like the Bezos of Australia right now. Okay. A guy who is sort of rich to an extent that could only be immoral, considering.
Bezos is the Bezos of outer space. As far as I'm concerned, he and Elon Musk are not residents of this planet. They live in outer space now. You get a certain amount of money, you go off into a rocket ship? Is that the idea?
Yeah. All I can say is Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, all I want is a good old-fashioned space fight with these two guys. See them fight in space.
You want to see, like, one of those, what's his name, Logan Paul?
Yes, the great boxer, Logan Paul.
But you want to see one of those matches, but, like, on Mars with those two?
Yes. Do you feel, Julie and Brett, that the Paul brothers are... eventually this will lead to brother versus brother fighting one another, that's where this, like, is building to, where they keep all the money for some boxing match that they square off against each other.
I just hope they don't bring Aaron Paul into it.
Yeah. Or Paul McCartney.
Are you guys going to fight each other, or what's going on here?
I don't understand.
I write songs too. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro.
I write songs too.
Yeah, that's too bad about that guy. He's a rich guy. So he's kind of like he seems kind of like the Daniel Plainview of Australia.
Yes, exactly. He ate everybody's milkshake.
I drink your Foster's. I get a straw. I go down, start drinking your Foster's.
The best guest you can get us, Brett? Who's the biggest name you got in your Rolodex?
Ooh.
In terms of what we want, or in terms of how famous the person
is? I just want straight up fame.
Okay.
Who's the most famous celebrity you can get us?
The most famous celebrity? I mean, I would say...
Superman.
I mean, I can get you Dean Cain if we're talking Superman.
I don't want Dean Cain. I don't want Dean Cain. I don't want Dean Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Who else don't I want?
Who else can you get? Who you got, Brett? Not Dean Cain.
I got this weird feeling I could get you Guy Fieri.
Let's do that.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Are you kidding?
He's a billionaire, isn't he?
He's cool. First of all, he's cool. He gave more money to restaurant workers over the pandemic.
Yep.
That dude is cool in my book.
Absolutely.
Oh, the restaurant with the stuff. Oh, shut up.
Why? Because he doesn't sell flourless cake, chocolate cake. Because the dessert at his place is probably awesome. Probably pours caramel and hot donkey fudge
sauce.
All over it.
Donkeys. He likes his donkey sauce.
Yeah, he likes donkey sauce.
Oh, you go to this place and it's garbage. Oh,
okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So us
slobs got to eat two.
You have not eaten at Guy Fieri's All American Grill.
I would.
I know you would. I would too.
My favorite three restaurants are, and I admittedly I did not eat at Guy Fieri's All American Grill, but I'm putting it number three. Number two, I like to eat lunch at American Girl Doll by myself. Like the one.
Well, you're never by yourself if you have your dollies with you.
If I have my doll with me.
Your dollies.
Two, please. What would it take to... I'll say this, Brett. If you get us Guy Fieri, I will go to the American Girl Doll at the Grove, and you can film me walking in with... I'll walk in with a doll that's not an American Girl Doll. I'll walk in with like some...
Annabelle.
I'll walk in with some. I'll walk in with Annabelle from the horror franchise, and I'll say two, please, for me and my daughter.
You'd be like,
She's a little difficult. But don't worry.
She's got some dietary restrictions.
I'm in control.
And I will go in with an Annabelle doll to the American Girl doll restaurant and ask for a table for two for me.
Wait, what's
and my
your
dolly.
Number one restaurant?
Oh, McDonald's. I think there's a, one of those out in New York.
Are they still on strike, or can you get your filet of fish again?
They made their point for that week, and I support the workers completely. If they say stop going, I will stop going. Yeah.
You will not cross the line never cross that you will catch a fish. Yeah, but I'm saying you have to drop a line to catch a fish, and you won't cross that line. No matter how tasty the fish is at the other end of the line.
Pay your employees, McDonald's. It's a sick shame. You got a line out the door all around the clock. We can't make the money. Yeah, you're making it.
Oh, you're making so much money.
Yeah.
I got another guest idea for you. I'm sure you heard that Rob Zombie is in charge of the new Monsters reboot.
I don't want to talk to Rob Zombie. Do you want to talk to Rob Zombie, Tom?
Not really.
All right, crossing off the list.
I don't want to talk to him. I don't like how he wears that cap like he's Al. Is it Al Cap with his spicy fries?
Andy Cap.
Andy Cap. I don't like how he wears his cap like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that he's friends with Marilyn Manson.
I like that he is going to finally bring some edge to the Munsters.
Yeah.
Finally, just what the Munsters was missing the whole time.
It's Rob, the
joyless
light touch,
edge.
The light touch of a Robert Zombie. Yeah.
Yes. You think you can get him though, Brett?
I think I could probably get Rob Zombie. Yeah, I mean, he's got to promote
this
damn show, right?
Book him.
Who else? Dennis Franz.
Olivia Rodrigo.
You know who I've got to add to my list of people who have shafted me. Remember those two guys from Two on the Isle, those two theater critics, Two on the Isle.
Yeah. What happened?
They won't respond to my damn emails.
They must have taken it hard. They must have heard it and felt we were teasing them too much.
This is my opinion. They couldn't get to the library to log into their internet.
They can't remember their password.
They're not allowed in that library because one of them takes too many naps.
I can't remember my ID, my password. I can't get in. I thought it was Theater 99.
One got banned because he was taking too many naps. The other got banned because he was taking too many books into the bathroom. Yeah. So they don't have any internet access now.
Yeah. They're banned from the library.
That stinks that they haven't gotten back to us.
I mean, you needled them a little bit, but I think they ended up in the Hall of Fame by the end of that clip. I think our treatment of it was.
What about Horowitz and Spector? Get those girls on. There's something rotten in Transylvania. We'll make them sing for us.
Great. Well, you know they've had a falling out, so maybe we could get them back on.
Perfect.
Either
reconcile or fight. I don't give a shit.
That's a great idea.
And then let's get also now's the sweet spot for us to get Horror Man on. It's June. Yeah. It's June.
Kassir.
Yeah.
Yeah, get John Kassir on.
Friend of the show, DC Pearson, shared some with me that's kind of interesting. We might want to look at in a future episode, which is that John Kassir played, he was in this TV biopic about the Three Stooges. Do you know about this?
He was?
And I think he played Moe in it.
Stop it.
Yeah. We might have to do a watch of this.
What if we just watch the whole thing?
Yeah, Michael Chiklis. I can't
even say. Stop it.
Michael Chiklis.
Michael
Chiklis, Evan Handler, you know, Evan Handler from like Californication.
Oh,
and,
God, this is like a parade of like how quickly can we make Julia lesbian?
Like three curlies in this one.
Ugh. Puke.
Hey, Mo. Oh,
God. The Three Stooges film. It was shot in Sydney.
Every Wednesday night, I get a street pretzel. Go to my apartment. I watched Tales from the Crypt.
I watched this biopic about the Three Stooges made in 2000.
I watched the Three Stooges biopic over and over. Then it's off to bed.
What if that's our first, like our, like we sell tickets for like the first Double Threat Live and then we just press play on that movie and go home.
Yeah. We go, hey, everybody, we got a great show for you tonight. Watch this. And there's a merch table
Goodbye
in the back.
Forever.
And thanks so much.
See you on the radio.
Double Threat.
Happy listening.
Double Threat, y'all. Then we just walk out.
And there's like a getaway. We have like a version of Baby Driver behind the wheel of an Uber. We get in really quick. Get the hell out of there.
Baby Uber is a pretty good idea for a movie.
Is it?
A baby driving an Uber car?
Yeah, maybe.
Can I ask an honest question? Do you, in that scenario, do you picture me in the getaway car with you or back at the theater running?
Oh, no, you're back at the theater being yelled at and people started throwing things at you.
You're at the theater. You're up front at the theater.
We want our money back.
With a leg shackle mounting you to the stage.
People are throwing merch that they didn't even buy.
Yeah.
People storm the merch table the way they storm the Capitol.
Yeah, it'd be like the end of Circle Sky and Head. The kids will run up and start tearing Brett into pieces.
Tearing, see like a mannequin head that looks like Brett.
Yeah.
I'll add that to my list then. That's, a sacrificial victim projectionist.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my God.
Are you looking for a job? You're getting your resume ready for something?
He's trying to get a 14th thing on that list of credits he does. Well, this is a great episode of Double Threat. I got to say, this is a great one.
Thank you so much for listening and send us stuff and be good and be nice and don't do drugs unless you share some with me.
Yeah.
We'll and remember see you next week. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Remember this. Double Threat. We're going to beat you.
Yeah.
Is that it? We're going to beat you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to beat you.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
Double Threat. We're going to beat you.
I want this.
Final thing I'll say. A shirt that says Double Threat and then it just says on like a curly banner, we're going to beat you.
Yeah. Like if it's a tattoo.
Yes.
That would be the banner underneath our coat of arms.
That's right.
And design a coat of arms.
Thank you, everybody.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.